All right, hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Quaggamos, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about the difficulty of the environment at LSU. And broadly, we're talking about Anthony asking to be talked off the ledge of 7-5. Well, I mean, I like the payout's not great right now because it's been bet to death. But I mean, I've got a little skin in the game on Clemson over 7.5. I think Clemson's going to win more than 7 games. I think they'll be a less talented, better team this year because they're a better team this year. I have reason to believe that the mental toughness of the program will be a little better, maybe the physical toughness. I'm a huge fan of D-Love, and maybe that's a one-year turnaround in that department. I think the mental toughness and the physical toughness go hand in hand, and I've had a pretty hard time watching Clemson not execute in close games and big games and things like that. One other thing, we were talking about the environments that Clemson's played in. Do you know Clemson in 5 years since COVID, Clemson has faced 3 ranked opponents on the road. That's it. In 2021, they lost at Pittsburgh 27-17. In 2022, they won at Wake Forest, who was ranked 21st, 51-45 in double overtime. And last year, they won at Louisville, who was ranked 19th, 20-19. So they faced 19, 21, and 23. And if I remember right, the 22 Wake Forest team did not finish ranked. And I don't believe the 25 Louisville team finished ranked. So they've only faced one team, I think. I'll double check this. I think only one of those 3 teams was ranked at the time of the game and then finished the season ranked. They have not faced the caliber of opponent plus venue remotely since COVID in 2020. Now, that's not to say they haven't been in some tough environments. People have brought up the NC State game in 21, lost in double overtime as a 10-point favorite there. People have brought up Notre Dame in 22. Notre Dame not ranked, by the way. Clemson 4-0 against ranked teams in 22 in the regular season, including ACC Championship. Lost to 6th-ranked Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. But, like, NC State, people forget that NC State team that came into Death Valley after the Wake Forest game was 10th in the country. Now, I thought they were overrated, and they ended up being overrated. But Clemson beat them by 10 points. If we're going to top 10 teams generally in the last 5 years, you've got the Georgia game in 21. They were ranked 5th, lost 10-3 in Charlotte. The NC State game at home, Clemson won 30-20. Clemson was ranked 5th in that game, by the way. Let me see. The Florida State game at home, lost in overtime 31-24. That one was a nightmare. The Georgia game in 24, 34-3, nightmare. Neutral in Atlanta. The SMU game, Tennessee in 22, Orange Bowl. Forgot about that one. 24, the SMU game, you won the ACC title against number 8 SMU, lost at number 4 Texas in the first round of the CFP. And then last year lost to LSU. So that's 0-1, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 2-3, 2-4, 2-5, 2-6 against top 10 teams anywhere in the last 5 seasons, which includes a couple home losses in there. And it includes some home losses where the game was right there. That Florida State game, Clemson was better than Florida State that day. Better. They weren't better than LSU, but that was an easily winnable game last year. Easily winnable. In my opinion, they were not close to Georgia in 21 or 24. They were not close to Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. They were not really close. They played fine second half against Texas, but they weren't really close to Texas in 24. So that would be another concern. The other thing that I would say to Anthony, and anybody out there that's frustrated, concerned, having issues with where Clemson is right now, is that the past couple of big openers, in 24 it wasn't necessarily the case. I think in 23 it was the case, and in 21 it was the case, that a lousy opener, particularly on offense, had a hangover effect in the next season. And we know it was true last year. So maybe this is even years, it's not a thing. In 22, Clemson didn't have a tough opener. They destroyed Georgia Tech in 2022, 41-10. In Atlanta. They didn't play great, but they destroyed them. In 24, they came off of Georgia. Remember the long touchdown pass to Wesco, 66-20. That was an annihilation of App State. So they kind of exercised, like they kind of flexed a little bit on them. But last year you had the Troy, Georgia Tech, and Syracuse trifecta. Disaster. In 23, Charleston Southern led Clemson in the first half. People forget that one. Remember the Cade pick six? Florida Atlantic was next week, then the loss to Florida State, and it never quite clicked after that in 23. 9-4 is not terrible, but it never quite clicked. 21, two games after Georgia, was the Georgia Tech 14-8 game where they took the safety late. And then they lost game four at NC State. So the thing that you hope is that the mental toughness part of the offseason work, that it will allow you to, if this doesn't go well, like it didn't go well in 21 or 23 or 24 or 25, like it didn't go well in your openers there, it will allow you to move past that a little bit easier. Maybe even deal with some of the issues in the game a little better so that it feels better on the back end. That would be a question, but also maybe a point of hope. That maybe a new voice, a new regimen, a new focus to your offseason conditioning, even to your August camp, that becomes more of a part of your DNA as a program, perhaps. Let's go to Maria and Mike and Anderson who join us next. 654 Roar is the number. Hey, Maria.
Hey.
What's going on?
I feel like we're improving every day now from last year. And but what worries me is now we have to face NFL players.
Well, not today. Today, the SEC is saying, no, we don't. Tomorrow, I don't know. Tomorrow, it may change. Yesterday, you did. Today, you don't. Tomorrow, you might. It is a factor, I would say. It is a factor, and it is yet another, we talked about this, it is yet another pond that Clemson is not willing to play in, and LSU is. At least it was until yesterday.
Right. I hope they don't get to play, because that it just don't seem fair to me.
I agree with you, Maria. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think the SEC agrees too. We should note the Big Ten was the first conference to come out and say you're not going to do this. The SEC came out with those outrageous punishments. I mean, unbelievable punishments if you do. One other thing on that, and we'll go to Mike's phone call. It astounds me. And you know what? We got accused of a texter earlier of having Kiffin derangement syndrome. I'm so sorry we've noticed that Lane Kiffin continues to do these things. I mean, everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin. Whoever signed an NFL player off of waivers in the NFL, we were going to talk about that person. The fact that it's an LSU athletic department that also is doing wild roster things with men's and women's basketball as well, and was already the most expensive roster in college football. I mean, I have yet to understand why it's our fault for noticing. But, okay, maybe we do have Kiffin derangement syndrome. Here's another one, though. On Monday, Lane Kiffin reached an agreement in principle to sign an NFL player. It was public. It was out there. Everybody knew about it, including his bosses. Yesterday, if we believe the Pete Thamel reporting on this, yesterday, the day after that agreement was made, and two other agreements were reported with different pro or aspiring pro football players, the very next day, LSU's administration voted unanimously with the rest of the SEC to condemn this. I'm sorry, what are we talking about here? The same administration that appears to be greenlighting everything that LSU is doing, which includes, by the way, an entire roster of ineligible players, which is why Will Wade got to four. Because he just filled up his roster with like 26-year-old European players and players who are out of eligibility. And so, obviously, like that's how he got down to four. RJ Lewis is going to play for his fifth team. He just got eligible like a couple days ago. Kind of similar, actually, to some of the NFL stuff. And I believe this SEC thing will ban him from LSU. I think it covers him, too. As somebody who went undrafted, has been on NBA rosters, I don't know exactly how much exposure he's gotten there, but I think RJ Lewis would be there, too. The same administration has been rubber stamping all of this. When push came to shove, they might have been pushing back in the room, but when it was time to vote, they voted for the penalties. If the administration felt that way, then where were they Monday? Like, if it's in the best interest, which Lane Kiffin said, it's my job to put the best team on the field for LSU, that's fine. But it's also the administration's job to have other interests they take into account. Like the good of the university and like all the fictitious stuff that you tell, you know, that you tell yourselves about the mission of the school and all this stuff. It's all poppycock, but that's what you tell yourself. This administration was nowhere on Monday. They had no opinion. They were absent. Yesterday, it did appear that there was like one school that was going to abstain and two that were opposed. But then when it got time to vote, all of a sudden, they lost their conviction. Like, apparently, we're really convicted that we needed NFL players in college football. Where were you? So you supported your coach and your program on Monday, and then you just reneged on it 24 hours later? Is that what we're doing now? Yet again, there was an opportunity. And you know what? God bless the Big Ten and eventually the SEC for stepping up and somebody saying, no, 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 no. We are not doing this. We're not going to allow this. Because as I've been saying for days now on this program, the coaches could stop all of this if they just decided to. A judge didn't make Lane Kiffin sign an NFL player. A judge didn't make Will Wade sign an eligible play. No one's forcing you. No one's putting a gun to your head, coaches. Coaches get to decide if they want to wade into these waters or not. And the bottom line is many of them are doing it, whether they fully support it or they think they got to do it for self-preservation. They got to do it because everybody else is doing it. They're doing it. Nobody is holding them accountable. The administration that voted yesterday after allowing it on Monday is not holding coaches accountable. They're just going along with whatever. They're just voting for a bill that was already going to pass. There's no courage in that. There's no courage from anybody. Nobody is saying, no, we are not doing that. Nobody is telling these coaches, no, that's a bridge too far. Either they're asking forgiveness, not permission from their own administration and just not being forthcoming, or the administration is willing to do whatever the coach wants until somebody above them notices. And increasingly, the people above are not noticing, or they can't do anything. Like LSU as an institution, they were so for this on Monday. They were nowhere. Lane Kiffin's doing it. We got to do it. Everybody's doing it. It turns out nobody's for this. All of a sudden, when the SEC votes, nobody's for this. Not even you. Lack of courage, man. Lack of conviction. Not a fan. Mike, I apologize. We're coming to you on the other side. Hour two continues right after this.
The countdown is on. 10 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
At the Sellers wants to throw. Looking. Goes across the middle. Ball batted up in the air. And it's picked. Ricardo Jones at the 10. Going to take it into the end zone. Touchdown.
10 days until Clemson Tiger football.
105.5.
97.5, The Roar,
where every day is game day.
All right, this hour brought to you by our friends at Grass Nerds. We're starting to see more landscaping happening all over the place because people are thinking about getting their lawns ready for fall. You're trying to do some work, get it in before the football season. Listen, Grass Nerds can give you a set it and forget it mindset when it comes to your lawn because they care about your lawn. They want to make your lawn the best that it can possibly be. That's what they're good at. Upstate South Carolina lawns and making them the best that they can be. They do a soil sample analysis across the board for every lawn once a year to make sure that they're treating your lawn, not treating an idea of your lawn. It's a very important step in their process. You can get in at multiple levels with multiple price points and multiple different things and ways they can treat your lawn. These are local folks, a local business that's organically growing, just like your lawn. For more, go to grassnerds.com.
We got your summer covered.
The summer sports station.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
No one ever wants to deal with roof trouble, but when it happens, it's comforting to know who to call. Your roof protects your home, your family, and everything inside, and that kind of trust really matters. That's why so many upstate families turn to Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
Family-owned and operated since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son has been taking care of homes and businesses across the upstate for decades. They believe in doing things the right way, with quality craftsmanship, honest answers, and a neighbor-first approach. From small repairs to complete roof replacements, their team takes pride in their work.
When it comes to your roof, don't cut corners. Choose the name families across the upstate have trusted for years, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Rely on the upstate's most trusted roofing experts since 1965. Get started today.
Call 864-246-0886 or visit robertsonroofing.net.
With fall and football fast approaching, the Craft Stove Store and Patio has in-stock patio furniture marked down to clearance sale prices. Famous name brands like Troppatone, Lloyd Flanders, Summer Classics, Hanneman & Mallon are all clearance sale priced. Have your patio or porch ready to watch the big game. Shop and save now while selections are at their best. Grab a gas or charcoal grill by Big Green Egg, Broilmaster, or Weber, and be the most popular person at the tailgate. The Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor's.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Your home's details are what make it special. Painter One of the Upstate specializes in the high-end finishing touches that others overlook. Run by two Clemson Engineering alumni, they guide you through every step of the process with daily check-ins, ensuring a stress-free transformation that increases your home's value and beauty. Serving the Upstate, they're ready to bring your vision to life. Call 864-668-6899 or visit PainterOne.com/upstate today. Painter One, renew your space, renew your life.
Ryan Beasley Law has expanded to serve our clients in more locations. If you face pre-arrest investigations, state or federal charges, civil litigation, or collegiate student conduct matters, we can represent you in courts across our state, including magistrate, city, state, and federal courts. Our proactive approach is relationship-driven, client-centered, and focused on achieving the best possible resolution. We're in Greenville and downtown Spartanburg. Call 864-679-7777 or find us online at ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Jumpstart another great season of college football at Rubens, showcasing all the big games every week with live music at both locations. Great beverage selections and the famous wings and other delicious menu selections only Rubens is known for. All the games, surround sound, and tailgate menu available. Game day specials every football Saturday at Rubens on the Parkway in Greenville and Highway 81 in Powdersville. Rubens, football all season long. Rubens, good times gather here.
Fall is here, and that can only mean two very important things. Clemson football and the busy fall real estate market. Cheering on our Tigers and celebrating big real estate wins make for an exciting time in the upstate. Sellers' homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase. Clemson soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist you with your buying or selling needs and, of course, talk some Clemson football as well. You can get in contact with her by searching Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
If you're just looking for a place to talk some ball,
heck yeah, let's go!
Balkan Banner, who you want to call?
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks.
Just sports.
Out of bounds.
Right here on The Roar.
Your upstate sports authority.
You know, before we get back to the phones, I got to say this. This is a wonderful text that we got, maybe the best text of the day so far, that said, you know, if you want to come from the West Coast, Ben said, if you're on the West Coast, in the Western United States, what I call Scott Reimer land, as Scott lived there for like half the year last year, if you're in Scott Reimer land, you can start driving now and get to easily to Southern Weaving Food Hall for our Roar College Football Kickoff Show presented by Bud Light, 5 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. You could do that. Or, as the texter points out, you could just fly Breeze. They got hundreds of flights from thousands of destinations all over, I guess thousands of flights, hundreds of destinations all over the United States. They've got 8 nonstop flights right now coming out of GSP. Here are your locations. And listen, in no way am I telling you this is an exhaustive list, okay? In no way am I telling you it's an exhaustive list. I'm just giving you north, south, east, and west, okay? Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, Columbus, Ohio. Bam, bam, bam. You're everywhere. You're literally south, you're north, you're eastern seaboard, you're already kind of eastern seaboard, and you're west coast. That's what Breeze gets you. 5 years they've been in business. They continue to grow and develop, but the price points stay the same, man. I'm telling you, it's a next level experience. BreezeAirways.com out of GSP, which is the best airport in America, nay, the world. Let's go to Mike and Anderson, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Quark, Ben, good afternoon. Thanks for getting me in. I had a quick comment and then a serious question, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
And the quick comment is, and everybody's talked about it yesterday on Walk Show, today on everybody's show. Very quickly, on the Dolly Parton thing, I'm an old man. I've been around a while. And when I listen to a Dolly Parton interview, like I did yesterday afternoon, about an hour's worth of different ones, I walk away from that interview thinking, you know, she's got all the money in the world, all the fame in the world, but I would like to be her or way more like her, and I don't care about the money, if that makes any sense. But when I listen to other, what I consider to be icons of the last 50 years and yours and Ben's generation too, when I listen to LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, I hate to admit it or say it, but I think Taylor Swift is an icon, and several others that I haven't mentioned, I walk away from that interview or listening to it thinking, you know what? I don't care about their money because I wouldn't want to be like them. Do you ever feel that way? Would you? I mean, am I close on that?
You know,
I
agree with you on this. I have often, I mean, look, there's a reason that the Bible, I use the example of Solomon all the time from the Bible. Solomon started out as he was rich. He inherited his father's kingdom, obviously, King David.
Yep.
And the first thing he asked for is wisdom. And so the beginning of, what is that, 2 Kings, I don't know, 1 Kings, whatever book, I think it's 1 Kings. The beginning of that book is basically like the split the baby where he's making these wise choices, whatever. And as he gets more wealthy, he becomes less serious about his wisdom.
Yes, sir.
And he sort of becomes more wealthy than he was wise. And at the end of his life, toward the end of his life, he writes Ecclesiastes, which is that is a depressing book from a guy who has all the money in the world, all the stuff in the world, and is miserable. When I watch Deshaun Watson at the podium, I see a miserable, rich guy who realizes he got everything he ever wanted in his life, and he is miserable. And that's 100% right. The mentality that Dolly Parton had, where she's constantly giving stuff away, she's not defined by her wealth. She's not defined by what she did in her life. She's defined in a lot of people by the joy she brought others and by her giving spirit. That's because that's what she wanted from her life. And I think that's why she, it felt like she did, it looked like she did, and I think she legitimately did live a more contented life than many other of those icons that you talked about.
I would agree 100%. Glad to hear somebody agree with me.
Yes, sir.
On the, serious question or comment, I listen every day to everybody's show, of course, and we all remember what a bad season by Tiger standards last season was. And I got to looking last night, and a lot of people bring up the last 5 years, but I pulled up some numbers, and actually in the past five seasons, Dabo's record is not that bad. 47-20, that's about a 9.4 win, four losses per season. Very respectable. One playoff appearance, very respectable. But sadly for Dabo, he created a standard that I don't know if anybody can continue it for a long, long time. Bobby Bowden couldn't. Tom Osborne couldn't. And he ranks right up there with all of those guys. And don't hear what I'm not saying, because I give Dabo all the respect in the world for what he's accomplished since he's been here. But I personally don't think he's an elite coach anymore, or certainly he doesn't bring about elite results. But he's still a really good coach. 9.4, say 9.5 wins, 4 losses a season. There are a ton of universities out there that would take that. But my question to you would be, in your opinion, what is the general consensus of the fan base when I hear everybody complain a lot, and I've complained? Should we accept what it is now, remembering what it used to be before he got here, not counting Danny Ford's years, or should we continue to expect somebody or Dabo to get it back to where it was? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot, Quack.
Thanks, Mike. It's a good question. I appreciate the phone call. I don't disagree with your appraisal of Dabo. I think the results speak for themselves. 9.5 wins is not bad, but consider this. I'm not counting COVID because it was a different number of games, different. I just don't really count COVID in much things, in many things. From 2015 to 2019, Dabo Swinney and Clemson won 69 games and lost 5. Two of those 5 losses were in the national championship game. One of those losses was in a national semifinal. They lost 2 regular season games in 5 years. Now, that's wild. They lost 3 games that weren't the national championship game in 5 years. That's why it feels worse. You're right that what goes up must come down. It's happened for every single coach. It happened for Joe Paterno like 4 times. The number of times you follow Joe Paterno's career, we'd have fired Joe Paterno several times. Joe Paterno would have a random 3-8 in between like some 10-1, 11-0 stuff. Like he would just have losing seasons at random. But it was fine because, you know, you knew he was going to eventually get it back. And that was like his whole tenure, man. It was crazy. When Dabo Swinney said the best is yet to come in 2018, I remember looking at Eric McLean. We were going to do fifth quarter show. It was Eric's final fifth quarter show with us. And I said, there's no way that's true. There's no way the best is yet to come from beating Alabama by 28. And you know what? I was right. Dabo's wrong. I was right about that. I'm not saying Dabo shouldn't have said it, but we should have known then. Like that. You know what? Honestly, this is probably the pinnacle of Clemson football ever in history. It might sustain, but it's not getting better than this. So some of this is natural regression. Some of it might be that, like, Dabo, I don't think Dabo made great decisions all the time in who he hired. I think he did for a long time. I think he didn't. I'm not sure that he has a national championship staff right now. He might. I think some of it is the shifting sands of the sport, that he was sort of resistant to the direction the sport was going. And at times he's been resistant and proven right. Recently he's been resistant and the sport has kind of just washed over it, right? So I think there's something to that. I think the fan base understands. I think the fan base understands that Clemson has slipped. But I do think there is a portion of this fan base that thinks you can get reasonably back. And the good news is that the point of entry now to the playoff is lower than it was 10 years ago. By the way, we've got a fun 10 years ago segment for you coming up in just a little bit, just to remember. But 10 years ago, you had to be top four. You basically had to win your league. Now you don't. And you can be a really good, but Miami didn't even play for the ACC championship, play for the national championship game. The possibilities to consider yourself an upper echelon program, I feel like there are more ways to get there now than there ever have been. And there is reason to believe that this program might be starting to change course a little in terms of how they operate and how they're trying to be competitive. Let's go to Jason in Columbia, who's up with us next. What's up, Jason?
Man, Quark, you just said a lot there that I agree with. And I wanted to give a shout out to Anthony, man. I thought he expressed his points like really eloquently and captured a lot of the frustration in a civil, very civil manner, more civil than a lot of Clemson fans have, spoiled or not, the last several years. I also want to give him props. I mean, he held on to that grudge for a long time and served it up cold, you know. I don't know if he's a distant relative of my wife, but I mean, I definitely give him props for that ability.
Deeply held beliefs, for sure.
Exactly. And so I think I'm right there with him, man. And maybe that's part of the reason I kind of have, in addition to the whole sport just falling apart, kind of a dulled sensation going into this season. It's funny because Walt had asked me like last week for my like playoff picks. And I got to be honest with you, Quark, I kind of stalled and said, let me think about it. I just haven't cared. Like, I don't know. I would just have to throw out chalk because I just don't care right now. Obviously, I care about Clemson, so I'll be watching, you know, very passionately. But I think as a Clemson fan, what I'm holding on to, because I do agree what you, in your response to Anthony, and I think Maria called up and said, you know, Dabo is improving some of his stances. I mean, we've seen it. The coaching hires, he had two bad coordinator hires, okay? He's hopefully fixed that. We don't know. That's a big question mark. And then he's changed some of his responses to other issues, recruiting, NIL, transfer portal, all that stuff. So I think what you have to hope for, obviously, is if you would have told me, speaking of 10 years ago, if you would have taken me all the way back to 2008, when nobody wanted Dabo to be the head coach, including myself, and if you told me, hey, dude, this guy is going to take you on one of the best runs in college football history, not just Clemson history, and then you're going to hit a choppy point where it coincides with the sport just bombing out, and then he's going to regroup himself, and like at age 57, 58, he's going to start hitting his stride again. For the next 20 years, I would have been like, of course, I'll take that. So I think that's what, honestly, we just have to hope for as Clemson fans. Do you think that's a reasonable, albeit Pollyannish, approach to what we're seeing right now and where we stand?
I do. I think it is reasonable to think that the way you spend, you're still recruiting fine. I mean, you're not recruiting elite, but as Dabo said, you never really have recruited elite. I would argue the years you've recruited elite just led to more disappointment, honestly, and some of the elite players you brought in that class. But I don't see any reason why not. Now, Miami is now a power. That wasn't the case. I think part of Clemson's rise was it coincided with the fall of Florida State. Perhaps there's not room if Florida State decides to get its act together and hire a coach that's going to actually compete. Perhaps that makes Clemson a third wheel. I don't know. I have no idea what Florida State's going to be. But there's no reason that Clemson should not be the second best team like year over year in the ACC at a minimum. So you're not going to get back to where you were in the 2010. That's not going to happen, okay? But you could get back for a year. You could have a really good team, and you could have a floor that puts you before last year where we thought the floor was, which is like three losses, maybe four losses. I think that's a reasonable place for Clemson fans to land because Clemson's still going to spend in that way. And it appears that they're spending money a little more wisely in that way.
Yeah, agreed, Quark. I mean, I think the burgeoning playoff, even if I don't like it being expanded, it really does help Clemson's chances of getting into that tournament on a yearly basis or semi-yearly basis.
I totally agree, Jason. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Hey, Seminole Ted was on hold, I believe. Get back in, Ted. We'll get to you on the other side. Stay with us. Second half of the program rolls on after a break.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here.
Join Ashby Mixon and me live on Friday night as we take on week two of the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This week, we're off to Daniel High School, where the Lions will play host to BHP in a powerhouse pairing that you're not going to want to miss. When two of the best teams in the upstate square off, the Roar's got you covered. We'll be live at 7 p.m. for pregame and 7:30 for kickoff, right here on the Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about our friends at One Tom Plumber. Call the plumber whose name is his number. One Tom Plumber can help you with all of your plumbing emergencies, all your plumbing needs. They've got you covered with incredibly well-trained and skilled plumbers. They're hiring new, well-trained and highly skilled plumbers all the time to make sure that they can back up their 24-hour same-day service guarantee for all of those plumbing emergencies. If you find yourself in a bind because of some leak, some clog, some hot water issue, some drain issue that is threatening to grind progress in your home or business to a screeching halt, that's where One Tom Plumber can help you. Clemson grads learn and operate. They've got the pink plunger logo roaming throughout the upstate with offices in Anderson and Greenville. Call the plumber whose name is his number, One Tom Plumber.
Sizzling scores all summer long.
And he makes the catch!
The Roar.
Around here, it's built by the hands of good people. I'm Wesley Harbin, fourth generation at Harbin Lumber Company, and I've seen firsthand that this community is built by the contractors and remodelers who show up early and stay late. They're not just building houses, they're building dreams for families right here at home. And we're proud to stand beside them with the materials they trust, the service they count on, and partnerships that mean something. Because around here, we're not just supplying the job, we're part of the job. Harbin Lumber Company, helping build dreams since 1917.
Tiger fans, crawl space and basement issues are not a DIY project. You need trained, licensed pros who know what your home truly needs and are qualified to do the work. At Crawl Space Medic, our Clemson alum team delivers honest assessments, clear communication, and long-lasting repairs. From moisture and mold to structural issues, we fix the real problem without upselling our fellow Tigers. Keep your home and the air you breathe safe. Call Crawl Space Medic and schedule your free inspection today.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, what's a first-time phone call? What does that process look like?
When you call Snyder Tree Care, you get an individual on the phone that's going to listen to you and get you to the right arborist who have been trained, and he's going to come out and he's going to walk the property with you. And after that, the crews come out. They'll do whatever needs to be done, but they've got a plan for your property. Call us 864-244-3088.
Leave it to Schneider Tree Care.
Your creativity has a place and a future. At Tri-County Technical College, the Media Arts Production Program teaches you how to create professional video, audio, and digital content for today's fast-moving media world. From filming and editing to podcasting and social media, you'll build the skills employees are looking for. Turn your passion into a career you love. Visit tctc.edu/MAP and get started today.
Craving real Buffalo, New York style pizza and wings? You don't have to leave the upstate. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City style, never doughy, with the perfect crisp crust. And the wings? Crispy, juicy, buttery, spicy. Authentic Buffalo flavor with a tangy finish. Feeling adventurous? Try the Beef on Weck, a Western New York classic. Moretti's is just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Malden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
When Greg Wales started Kiwi Financial, he wanted to make sure that relationships were a true priority. Through tough times, life celebrations, and everything in between, being there for individual investors, business owners, and retirees through every stage of life has remained his top priority through regular communication, financial education, and trusted guidance. At Kiwi Financial, every financial strategy begins with listening. Whether you're planning for retirement, growing your business, or preparing for the future, you'll receive personal advice designed around your goals, not someone else's. That's the difference a long-term relationship can make. Whatever financial goals you hope to achieve, call 654-5043 or visit kiwifinancial.com. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Gradient Securities, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Gradient Securities, LLC. An SEC-registered investment advisor. Offer investment advisory services under the DBA of Gradient Wealth Management. Kiwi Financial Group is not affiliated with Gradient Securities, LLC.
Walk can get a little excited sometimes.
And a cold, 3 for the win. Yes! And a cold with 3.1 seconds left.
Come join the party.
Out of Bounds from noon to 3 right here on The Roar.
Roar is the number you like to join us. 654-7627.
Happiness. That's the song. Happiness. Let's go happiness today, people.
You gotta drag people there. Gotta drag people. All right. You know what? If you need to move from despair to happiness, Tiger Moving can help you.
How do I contact them?
TigerMoving@gmail.com. Simple process. Start with an email. TigerMoving@gmail.com. TigerMovingGreenville.com. These are the clean-cut and reliable movers. They can move your home, your business. If you own a radio station, they can help you with that. Ask me how I know. If you are looking to make sure that you don't feel the stress of your next move, Tiger Moving is your place. Tiger Moving are your people. These are local folks, Clemson grads, own and operate the business. And all their trucks are named after Clemson greats. They just want to help you through a stressful time in your life, and they do. I can speak from experience, second to none. TigerMoving@gmail.com, TigerMovingGreenville.com.
We do have a statement from Vic Burley, so I'll read that to you perhaps after we take Trey's phone call.
All right, let's go to Trey, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, so I have a couple questions for y'all, and I called in the Walt last week and kind of asked him, you know, the same thing in his opinion. It's kind of like it's a dual stage question regarding the quarterback situation at Clemson. So I am very confused about what's going on with the quarterbacks there, because you know, you have a freshman coming in, and you know, Vezina, you know, redshirt junior, if I believe is correct. And it kind of worries me that there hasn't been, and yes, I do know there is a possibility that, you know, Dabo is creating this narrative to kind of push Vezina and make him not comfortable, because do we really know how much of a quote-unquote quarterback battle there really is? But my question is, if it's so close, right, as people say and the reporters say, then why would you not just go with the younger guy? My worry is, you know, say Vezina gets the job and he has a good season, right? Say maybe, you know, throws for, you know, 2,500 yards, you know, does pretty good. Clemson wins 9-10 games this year, right? But his draft stock isn't that high, so he comes back next year. Does Tate Reynolds wait 3 years to you know, be the starter at Clemson? Or is there a risk that we could lose Tate? And I want to get your opinion on that. I was just thinking about that scenario.
Trey, let me ask you a question, and honest yeah. question here, not a loaded question.
Yeah,
if Tate Reynolds is not the best quarterback in the next two seasons,
okay.
would you want to play him so that he doesn't leave, or would you want to play the best quarterback for the next two seasons?
Of course, I want the best quarterback, but from what I'm hearing and from what I'm gathering out of practice, is they're pretty similar, and there's not what if they're on the even playing field, because if Vezina was that much better than Tate, right, then it would just come he would be going into the game and there'd be no questions. But like we still are hearing, man, Tate has a chance. And then it goes back to the question of experience, right? Well, Vezina's played in, he started one game, and there's a whole new offensive coordinator at Clemson. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be similar, schemes and stuff like that, but they're kind of starting on a fresh blank slate somewhat, right? And it just kind of worries me that the guy that's been there for three years now is just not that much better. If that makes sense.
I hear you on that. I hear you on this.
I hear your
point there. This would be my question, though. Like, if you're playing Middle Tennessee at home, okay, that's fine. You let them both play, and you let them duke it out during the season, all that stuff. But you're playing at LSU. Yep. Tate Reynolds hasn't really played a football game since his junior year of high school. And he hasn't beaten out Christopher Vezina. That's the other thing. I heard Sam and Faxon talk about this today. You're not hearing that Vezina is playing great, but you're also not hearing that Reynolds is great. You're actually just hearing that Vezina's been kind of poor. So in that case, wouldn't you defer to a guy that's got a fourth year, that's kind of, been around, has maybe a deeper level of respect in the locker room and maybe a deeper appreciation for the communication required and all that stuff? I think when in doubt, you go with an older guy if you're playing on the road like this, no?
Yeah, I definitely see that. But then again, what worries me last year, this coming from last year, right? Vezina came in and had a phenomenal game versus SMU. I mean, 3 for 350 yards, and he looked really good. And that was one of the more explosive offensive games we saw from Clemson. And I know SMU's secondary was terrible. But it kind of disappointed me that we didn't see more of him after that game, especially with how Cade was playing. And I just hope that isn't the case scenario here where, you do have a younger guy that has more time at Clemson that is, just as talented or maybe even more talented, and the only reason he's not playing is because of lack of experience. Well, I think in the long run, right, would it not be better to play that younger guy? Because I think it would have been like Vezina. We'd be much more comfortable with Vezina this year if he would have just played the rest of the season last year, because I really don't see how we had more of a chance of losing with Vezina at quarterback than Cade Klubnik after what we saw against SMU.
I understand what you're saying. I appreciate the phone call, Trey. Thanks very much. I think I'm going to say something crazy, okay? There have been a lot of words said and written about the quarterback situation. Let's put our cards on the table, okay? One of the things that Clemson fans have been talking about with this matchup with LSU is, and if you've been paying attention, you know about this, Stephylan Green is nowhere. Now, Lane Kiffin's not going to put a depth chart out, but they have been talking about their young defensive tackles. And you don't hear about Stephylan Green. Nobody's asking about him. Nobody's talking about him. You don't hear about him at all. He would be the best defensive tackle in Clemson's program. Ideally, like if he had stayed, that's what we would say. I said it would not be a surprise at the point that Stephylan Green transferred to LSU if he were not the best defensive tackle in the game when they play next week. He is like fifth or sixth among defensive tackles. Clemson's defensive line is not even close to that. Clemson's offensive line is young going against that defensive line. I would be worried playing a freshman quarterback with an offensive line that has to go up against a defensive line that's that, yes, they're young, but that talented on the road. I would be a little worried about that freshman processing. Just generally speaking, even if the freshman's better, I would be worried about that. That is, we talked about yesterday, the SEC teams that are going with freshman starters at quarterback. They're going, honestly, similar, probably a similar type deal to what Clemson's doing. You've got a guy who's a little steadier. Austin Mack at Alabama, consistent. But Keelon Russell is a playmaker. And I think they're looking around rightly at Alabama going, we don't have a ton of ingredients. We may need like a freelance playmaker. And let's throw him out there first in a home game against an overmatched team, and let's see how he does. Similar thing at Tennessee. Faison Brandon. Week two, they play Georgia Tech. Week one, they got Furman. Let's throw him out there. Let's see if a better playmaker helps us become a little higher caliber of offense after watching Joey Aguilar kind of just manage the thing for a couple years.
It's easiest for us to forget that this type of battle, looking for a brand new quarterback, happens at every school at some point or another. Clemson is not on an island when having to make this decision. And if you look back at other situations, in the majority of cases, the upperclassman wins out. Doesn't mean that they keep it all year, but you know what I mean? Like if it's kind of like Ty goes to the runner, Ty goes to the upperclassman, if that's what we're talking about here. So
that's right.
I told you Vic Burley released a statement today. Several news outlets reporting that his legal case, I don't think dropped is the right word, but there was a conclusion to that. He was going to have like 24 hours of community service, if I remember right, and 6 months, still sort of a probationary period. So there has been movement on that. I did want to tell you what he said as we go to break here. This is on Twitter. He says, I want to start by apologizing to my coaches, my teammates, our university, and our fans. I let you down, and I take full responsibility for my actions that night. You all have invested so much in me, and I understand I have some work to do to earn back your trust, but I promise you I will. I also want to acknowledge the Clemson University police officers involved. I understand how difficult and thankless their job can be, and I'm grateful for how professionally and respectfully they treated me. Even in a moment, I wasn't at my best. That's not something I take for granted, and I'm sorry they had to deal with me at all that night. As apologies go, Kwok, that one is pretty good.
That's really good.
I appreciate him adding that second part about the police. He didn't have to do that, but, I would not at all expect to see him anytime soon, but it does sound like they're working on a plan, a path back. We'll see how long that path is.
The first thing I thought of, please don't be AI. Like, please don't be obviously AI. And I don't think it was. I think he wrote that. I think that was heartfelt. I think he wrote it. And you got to hope that he does make that turnaround because time is short for him. I think we all would agree with that. All right, 654-ROAR is the number you want to get in on the Fred and Jewelers phone lines, Adam's Curving text line. When we return, Will Vandevort is going to join us. We'll chat with him about Vic Burley and a bunch of other things next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Let me tell you about Tiger Sports Shop. TigerSports.com. You go there, you see all the great stuff. You can see the countdown clock to the first game, which is now, we're coming up on 10 days out from the opener against LSU, which means you got about 9 days to get your stuff, to get all your things together. And Tiger Sports Shop's the best place to do that. You want to collect items for the tailgate. You want to collect items for your car, for your home, for your pet, for your kid, for everything. You do that in the next 9 days. You've got two locations to do it, downtown Clemson, Highway 123, the latest Nike sideline apparel, the Tiger Sports Shop collection, which is just like your favorite things. It's like the favorite things of the folks that frequent the store. If you're a fan of the Tigers, Tiger Sports Shop's where you need to go. TigerSports.com.
Loud, loyal, and locked in.
The home for Clemson sports fans.
On September 2nd, DraftKings.